This is where we are. You might have seen this on our Facebook. This page is taken right off of our Facebook page, and it will help us to introduce where we are today in our message. Because of membership, I'm going to take a break today from our study in Romans, and I want us to look at another other scriptures that were written by the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul, and this time not Romans, but 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So if you want to open your Bible, go ahead and open your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to begin with verse number 20. I have the English Standard Version up on the screen there. You can read it in whatever version, whatever translation you have. But in case somebody didn't have a Bible or wanted to read with the version that we're reading, I placed it here on the screen, okay, with the help of our tech team. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, "Therefore, we are ambassadors." Isn't that an interesting concept? We are ambassadors, especially when we're right here on Embassy Row, surrounded by ambassadors. The Bible says that we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. I'd like us to go to the next slide and look at it in the version called the Message. This is a very modern, somewhat colloquial translation or paraphrase of the Bible. And let's read it from this passage. The same verse, you'll notice the expressions that are here. We're Christ's representatives. Now you can make the comparison. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. Here it spells out what that's saying. We are Christ's representatives. God uses us to persuade men and women to drop their differences and enter into God's work of making things right between them. That's reconciliation. It says, we're speaking for Christ himself now. Become friends with God. He's already a friend with you. Isn't that a beautiful paraphrase of that scripture? And it really expresses what God is saying to us through his word. Let's go to the next slide and talk about this concept of being an ambassador. What is an ambassador? Let's put up the definitions that are there. We'll come back to this slide. There's four definitions in this dictionary that I wanted to highlight. Just the four red words, or the red words that are there. In the first definition, I like these two words that stood up. Resident representative. That means you are representing a country, not from afar, but up close and personal. You reside in a different country to represent your own country, okay? Let's keep that in mind, and then we'll talk about how that relates to us as Christian ambassadors, as Christ ambassadors. And I love this expression. The next one talks about negotiating a treaty. Countries that are at odds, whether militarily or economically, they're not in relationship with each other. And an ambassador is commissioned to make a treaty between one nation and the other nation. Are you starting to think spiritually right now? Don't just think about the ambassadors of the world. Think about yourself making a treaty between one and another, between an individual and God. We'll skip over three and we'll go to number four. I like this word, authorized. Authorized. When you are an ambassador, you are commissioned, sanctioned by a country and by the leadership of that country. In that way, you can say you are authorized. Can you think of yourself as authorized as an ambassador for Christ this morning? Can you think of yourself as a resident representative, as negotiating a treaty? Let's start to think those kind of thoughts. Let's go to the next dictionary on the next slide. There are five definitions we'll look at here, and we'll just look at the red words. I like those ones at the end of number one there. Representative to another country. Representative to another country. We are ambassadors. But I want to ask you the question. Why are we ambassadors for Christ? And And the answer is right there in the same area where we are looking at of 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. I want you to look at verse number 17, if you still have your Bible there. If you don't have a Bible, I'm going to read it for you. Chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, verse 17 says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." According to this verse, we can begin to answer how it is that we are a representative to another country. I like it back just a little bit before that, where it says, of the highest rank. Do you see that in the second line there? Of the highest rank. You see, you don't just send any old person to be your ambassador. You send those who truly represent the laws of your country, the ideals of your country, the will of your country, the political perspective of your country. So how is it that we can be ambassadors for Christ? Because according to verse 17, we are made new when we come into relationship with the Lord Jesus. When we come into relationship with Jesus, we all of a sudden become eligible to represent him to people around us. In verse number 18, and I'm going to read that again, it says, "All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself." If you can be Christ's representative to bring reconciliation to others, you first have to be reconciled to God yourself. If you're going to bring newness to another person's life, you have to have newness in your life. If you're going to be able to lead somebody else to have eternal life, you need to know that you have eternal life as well. So why is it that we are ambassadors of Christ? Number one, because we're new in Christ Jesus. Number two, we've been reconciled with God through Christ Jesus. And then verse 19. Can we go to verse 19? I just want to make sure there's no distraction for people that are listening today. It says, "That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation." So we are eligible to be ambassadors for Christ because we have not had our sins counted against us. We have been forgiven, and now we have been entrusted with a message. We have been authorized. We have been deputized. Do you see the passages there and understanding how it is that we can be ambassadors? Now, lastly, let's look at verse 21 to answer this question. Verse 21 in your Bibles there says, "For our sake, God made Jesus to become sin, the one who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." You might say today, I can't consider myself a representation of Jesus. I can't consider myself a good representative of God. I don't know how I can do ministry for others because I myself need ministry in my life. Well, that's just the point. When you receive ministry from God, when you receive his grace and his mercy, that's what makes you eligible. That's what qualifies you to represent. It's not how good you are, it's how good he is, and just the fact that you know him. So verse 21 is the answer. It says, "For our sake, God made Jesus to become sin. He was the one who knew no sin, so that in him we might become," did you hear what this says? "We might become the righteousness of God." How is it that you are ambassadors? Because if you are in Christ, you are the righteousness of God. When the Father looks at you, he sees the sacrifice of his Son, Jesus. Like we talked about 2 weeks ago, he sees you in his courtroom, standing before him as the judge, as not guilty. Why? Because Jesus took your penalty and your punishment. He paid your penalty. He took your punishment. You are now made righteous in God through Jesus Christ. And as a result of it, you can be an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, "I'm not perfect." Then tell people that. You know what I do when I tell people about Jesus? I tell them the sins of my life. I tell them where I messed up. I tell them where I almost ruined my marriage, where I needed a Christian marriage counselor to help put my life back together, even as a pastor. You say, why would you tell somebody that? You're discrediting the work of God. No, I'm telling them that God saved me, because even pastors need a savior. And a lot of people are so religious, they think that pastors are perfect, which is silly. The news will tell you that's not the case. But the fact is, we all need Jesus. And if you could tell people how he transformed, how you're new in Christ, you're the righteousness of God, you've been reconciled with God, for all these reasons, you can be his ambassadors. Are you excited this morning about that? Number two says this. Look at the red words there. On a special mission. Now I want to ask you, what is our mission? And the answer is right there in the passage, verse 18 and 19. We have the ministry of reconciliation. Our mission is to reconcile people to God. You say, what about reconciling people to one another? What about healing family relationships? Healing marriages? What about healing race relationships? What about healing international relationships? All that. It all starts with getting right with God. It all starts with getting the peace and love of God in your heart. The only way that you can forgive others is when you first know God's forgiveness for yourself. The only way you can love others is when you first know that God loves you. This is the ministry, the mission that God has given to us is reconciliation. And when we are reconciled, we then can go and help other people to be reconciled to God. We can let them know that there's an answer. We can let them know. Let me give you an example. On Saturday, and I don't know if you've noticed it yet, but I am beside myself excited about Saturday and Sunday next weekend, okay? Beside myself excited, okay? Next Saturday, when we go into Columbia Heights, we're going to hand out the story of a young man named Vito, also Harvey, a.k.a. King Heezy. That was his street name. Tattooed on his arms. I visit Harvey every other Thursday night in jail. Harvey grew up in Maryland and then in his teen years moved to Columbia Heights. And right about that time, his family was breaking apart, his parents' marriage. And he turned to the streets and now is doing his second time in jail. Second time. And I've been visiting him because somebody asked me to. And I thought I was doing something that was a good idea to do. I never knew that as much as it was for him, for me to visit him, it was for me. And it was for that ministry in Columbia Heights. Because since April, I've been watching God restore this man to relationship with him. I've been watching reconciliation. I've been hearing him. I've been talking about true repentance, going through what he's done and taking stock of it and taking responsibility for his decisions and all of those things. And I've watched him do the hard work. And I've watched him face the whole criminal justice system and say, you know what? I don't know how my court case is going to come out, but you can read his story next week. He put it in writing, and his pictures are right there for all to see. He said, never in my life have I been as free as I am right now. He's in jail, and he's saying, I am a free man. And he wrote something to the kids of Columbia Heights to tell them, don't do what I did. Don't wind up here. And it came out of a place of grace. You know, I just threw it out to him once. I said, Vito, you might be able to help us even from behind jail if you ever want to write your story down. We can share that with kids, you know. I mean, this is, and I said, but please don't feel obligated. Just if you're interested, let me know. I didn't even ask him for an answer. I said, next time I see you, you can let me know. The next time I came, he had the rough draft written. The next time I went, he had it completed. When I read it, I cried. I couldn't believe how powerful this is. You know what happened? What's happening in his life is God's been reconciling him to himself. And now God is giving him the message of reconciliation. You say, well, I don't know if I can serve God where I am. If you can serve God from the DC jail, If you can serve God from there, you can serve God anyway, anywhere. Can you say amen? This, we're candidates to be ambassadors for God himself, for the Christ Jesus, not based on how perfect we are, but how perfect he is and the work that he's doing in our life to bring us to reconciliation and righteousness so that we can give hope to others. And I'm excited that next week we'll be able to share that with kids in Columbia Heights. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Special mission. And with special mission, number three says we have powers. Ambassadors are given powers. You say, well, what power am I given? Here's what Jesus said. You will be endued with power from on high when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. You will be baptized in the Holy Spirit, empowered with God's Holy Spirit. You say, I don't know if I have power to go and represent Jesus. Well, then you need to say, God, I need you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. I need you to give me the ability to do the supernatural. I need to be able to lay hands on the sick and see them recover, to speak in your name, to speak in that prayer language that God gives. Some of you might not even know all those experiences. Read the book of Acts. Read the New Testament. See what Jesus did to not only show his own power, but to deputize his disciples with power from on high so that they could go and spread his good news. We as ambassadors are given powers, amen, authority from the Lord Jesus. Praise God. Number four, I love this one word, sent. Get off the pew and in the game. What was it? Get off the bench and into the game. Is that what you said, David? Get off the bench, into the game. We are sent by God. Can you say amen? And then the last one is we're a messenger. What is our message? It's in those same verses. All those verses around verse 20. It tells what our message is. We have been given the message of reconciliation. So I want to ask you, if you're a part of this church or becoming a part of this church, I want to ask you, who do you represent? If you're a follower of Jesus, if he's made you a new creature in Christ Jesus, who is it that you represent? Do people recognize you as a representative of Jesus, as Christ's ambassador? That's a good question to ask ourselves, right? Do we represent Jesus? You know, I tell a lot of people about our website. I tell a lot of people about our church, but I tell a lot of people about our website because not everyone can come to our church, but everyone can go to our website. I tell people on planes and trains and buses, people in restaurants, waiters, waitresses, I give them a card and I say, hey, if you don't get a chance to visit our church, we'd love to have you, but visit our website. It's at representjesus.com. And every time I tell people representjesus.com, you know what goes through my head? You better be doing that, Dave. If you're telling people that your church is representingjesus.com, that's your make sure that you as a church are representing Jesus. Make sure that you as a person, your family are representing Jesus. So feel free to ask yourself the question, are you representing Jesus on your job, in your home, at school, wherever you are you representing Jesus? By the way, this is the calling of our church. Our name is Embassy Church. Why are we called Embassy Church? Because we're on Embassy Row. We're here among embassies, and we've decided that while other embassies are representing their countries, we're going to represent heaven.
Amen.
We're going to represent the kingdom of God. That's the calling of our church. If you want to say, who are we? Look at 2 Corinthians 5:20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors.
Yes.
Can you say amen? If you're a member of this church, if you're a representative of this church, you're an attendee of this church, consider yourself to have that calling to represent Jesus. And guess what? You get to do it in Washington, D.C. You get to do it among the nations. You get to do it on Embassy Row. You get to do it in Cathedral Heights, where we are right here. You get to do it in Columbia Heights, where God has sent us to there. You get to do it in the place where you live, go to school, work, etc. Wherever it is, you get to be representatives. Can you say amen? Next slide. I want to finish so we give a chance to hear from a couple people. Embassy Row, look at that slide. That's where we are. Because this is our calling from God, 2 Corinthians 5:20. By the way, if you wondered why we're in Cathedral Heights, that's why. If you wondered why we're in Columbia Heights, that's why. If you wonder why we are doing English classes and Adopt a Block ministry, that's why. If you wonder why we do cell groups and encounter weekends, this is why. It's not just to do church stuff. If you look at our history, and it goes back 105 years, you will find four prophetic principles upon which God built this church. He founded this church. Four prophetic principles. And we made them all start with P to make sure they're memorable. The first one is prayer. Our church started as a prayer meeting. And if we don't pray, we're not keeping faith with what God wanted to do in this church. We are called to pray without ceasing. For our, not only for our own lives and families, but for this city, for this nation, for the nations of the world. The second one is the poor. Ever since we were here, we were connected with people that are ostracized, that were on the outskirts of society, that were overlooked for one reason or the other. Some of it was race, some of it was economics, whatever it was. From the beginning of this church, God established us among the poor. If we're not in places like Columbia Heights in those subsidized housing community, then we're not keeping faith with God's original calling to this church. But we're there by the grace of God. Amen? The next one is Pentecost. Pentecost. God has called us to be a Pentecostal witness in the nation's capital. That was our original mission statement. Before mission statements were cool to have, this church had a mission statement back in the 1920s. And it was to be a Pentecostal witness in the nation's capital. You say, what does that mean, Pentecostal witness? It means that you don't witness out of your own power. You witness out of the power of the Holy Spirit. And you let the Holy Spirit give you the love that you don't have. You let the Holy Spirit give you the joy and the peace that you don't have. Let the Holy Spirit give you the healing and the miracles and the boldness to witness for Christ that you don't have. We need to be a Pentecostal witness. And the last one is planting ministries. We're in the process of planting ministries. I believe what has happened in Columbia Heights, God's planting a ministry. I don't know where it's going to go, but I just believe that God is planting ministry there. The fact is, these are the four things that God has called us to right here from Embassy Row. Now, let me go to the next slide and ask this question. What is an embassy? And I'm going to ask this. Does anyone recognize that embassy? Say it out loud. The number one nationality in this church, numbers-wise, is Filipino. There are more Filipinos in this church than there are Americans. Isn't that amazing? I think. I'm not positive of that. Maybe that's because you'd have to count how many are now new Americans and all that. But I'm talking about where people originally come from. It seems to me that that's where we are. So if you felt like, hey, why didn't they put my embassy up there? Now you know why. You got to bring a whole bunch more people from your country before you get your picture of your embassy up there, okay? You know what an embassy is? An embassy is a place where an ambassador lives and works. Now, we have embassy residences and all that, but that's the original definition. It's where an ambassador lives and works. And all the ambassador staff, hers or his staff, all of the staff, they work there. You know what Jesus told us to do while we're here on this earth? He told us to be, that we recognize that we're in the world, but we're not of it. He said to make sure our hearts and minds are in heavenly places. You know why? Because this is not our home, ladies and gentlemen. We're just representing Jesus in this place. We are citizens of heaven. Heaven is our home. And if you're going to represent Jesus down here, by the way, that's why the Bible calls you aliens. How many of you wanted to be called an alien today? We have all these weird thoughts about what an alien is. An alien doesn't mean that you're this weird creature with a crooked thing finger that just says, phone home. Okay? An alien means you're not from here. That's what it means. You're not from here. And the fact is, we're not from here. We are from a sovereign. Do you know when the first embassy that I went to when I came into ministry here, if I could remember right, was India. I went into the Indian embassy, and I walked in, and it struck me. I'm no longer in the United States. I walked into a building, and I walked into the sovereign territory of India. And I recognize I'm in another country. If you travel, if you're an American, you travel to another country, if you visit the American embassy in that country, doesn't matter you're in another country, when you step into that embassy, you're home. That's your embassy. They have expressions like asylum. They have expressions like sanctuary, sovereign territory. All these would describe what takes place in an embassy. If you are going to represent Jesus in this world, you need to make sure that the only reason you're here is because God has given you a heavenly visa, a heavenly passport. Amen. And you can be here on this earth as a representative of heaven. But make sure if you're going to represent heaven, that you make sure your heart and your mind is in heaven. Can you believe? Can you say amen? I want you to know that this church is not our church. This church is God's church. The kingdom of God is not our kingdom. It's his kingdom. He is the king, not us. And his embassy is his embassy, not ours. So this church, Embassy Church, is God's embassy. Can you say amen? And we need to make sure that we remember that so we don't make it anything that God would not be pleased with. At the end of the day, he has given us authority, but that authority is not ours. It is delegated, loaned authority that is his and his alone. The power that we have, the abilities that we have are his and his alone. Let's go to the next slide. So with that in mind, I want to ask you, are we Embassy Church? Truly or just in name? Are we truly representatives of Jesus with a mission of reconciling people to God and a message that God has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ? Think about that. Gary and Susan, I'm going to pick on you for a sec. Can you come here just for a sec? How you feeling? You feel okay? I know, that's why I didn't tell you that I was going to do this. Now, you can tell whether you can make your own decision whether I made the right call or not. But I thought if I tell them, I'd like to have them come and share. Then they have to be maybe a little nervous about what am I supposed to share, how's it going to go, and things. So I just surprised them. All right. I want to ask Susan and then let you answer this question first. And then, Gary, I want you to answer this question if you would. Why did you come here? Now, I know how you came here through the invitation of your friend Joe, right? Joe Tommy. But I want to know why you came here and decided to become members here. Can you share that with us? Get your thoughts around that just for a sec. Can you be ready now? All right. Susan and then Gary. Here we go.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Goodbye. We had moved to Virginia about almost 2 years ago, and we were attending a small local church in Falls Church where we live. And it was good because we settled into they prayed for us and uplifted us as we made the big move and everything. But as time went on, I started getting antsy. I should speak for myself. Mm-hmm. And it's like the Lord started saying, okay, now it's time, like get off the bench. Like, now it's time, I want to give you more, it's time for more in worship, more in people, and more in life. And with that, I felt, okay, content spiritually, because that's the way God was speaking, and that's what was most important. Not to say, you know, we're tired of, or I wasn't tired, whatever, but where we were at, but it's just time for more, to move on. And God does that sometimes, and that's why he came. And we came here, it was partly for the reason from our many pastor church experiences to be committed to the family of God, wherever it is, and be committed. And I feel committed right away, almost with my heart, not in time, purpose, but I'm committed to you guys.
You know, in a way, I was brought up in a religious situation. My dad was a pastor, and I sometimes have a lot of hard times with churchianity because I lived in it, you know, and I saw the damage it did to people, and I saw the damage it did to putting people in a box. But what we came here, I think what we saw more than anything is that God wants to take us out of the box. And sometimes that's difficult because we feel comfortable in the box. It's going to be difficult for you who are called to go to Columbia Heights next Saturday. But that's where God's calling our pastor and our church to go, to be the light of Jesus. We have to be be part of the body of Christ that God's put us in, and realize that he's taking us out of this box to put him in the world that he wants us to be ambassadors for. So why are we here? We're here because God has brought us to be ambassadors, not just to Muslims, but ambassadors of his love to each one of us here, because we're the body of Christ. And each of us who gets to plant in each other's lives is helping us to grow closer to the one